This morning we'll be returning to the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 2. Matthew 2, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. Back when I was stationed in Germany, one of the guys I worked with at the firing range, his name was Tech Sergeant Walter. We had just called him by his first name. That's kind of an Air Force thing, which some of you who served in other branches may not appreciate, but his name was Matt. So my friend Matt, he had a hobby that he liked to do. He was an outdoorsy type of guy, and he was always trying to get outside, and he did something called geocaching. And if you're not familiar with that, it's kind of a scavenger hunt type deal where he would obtain these grid coordinates that would lead you to a location that you would probably not be able to find otherwise. And once you got there, there would be a cache or a secret hidden storage box or something that would be there. And inside of it, there'd be a little notebook, and you would just kind of make note of the fact that you had been there on such and such date. And it was a fun thing to do. You ended up hiking. Most of these locations were not near the roadway, so you had to go out and do some legwork to come to that area. And back then, there was no GPS on your phone. You had a handheld Garmin or something like that that you would use to get there. And it was a fun thing to do. He invited me along, and it was really cool because oftentimes the places you would go to would be something very scenic. Keep in mind, we were in Europe, or it would be something of historical significance. And we had gone to really cool places like castle ruins. We found this old structure that apparently at one time was part of a Roman fort, or also such things as World War I battlefields. Actually, we got to do that on a geocaching adventure, and it was a lot of fun to do that. In today's verses that we're going to read here in just a little bit, we have a count of these wise men from the east of Jerusalem, and they were directed not by GPS, but by God. They were directed by God through a miraculous star to go and see not some thing or not some place, but someone of great significance and of great value. They were directed not only to go and find this King of the Jews, but to also worship him. They would find out later that he was not just the King of the Jews, but he was also the promised Messiah, the Christ who would come into the world, that he was the promised Savior of the world. And they found him not in the place that they expected. They thought he would be at the palace, because certainly a king is born in a palace, but he wasn't there. They found him in the humble town of Bethlehem, found him in the arms of a poor Jewish girl who was called by God to be his mother. I trust that we've all found our places. Again, we're in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, God's Word says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasuries, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Thus says the word of our Lord. Please be seated. Please bow with me as we pray again. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of this gospel narrative from Matthew, that these wise men from the east, that these Gentiles were called by you to come and to find and to worship the Messiah. We thank you that through his blood and sacrifice, all men have access to him, the ability to be saved and profess faith in him. Help us, Lord, to trust you further and further, not just with our salvation, but with every aspect of our life. Help us to humbly submit to you, knowing that we are to be about your business, building your kingdom and not our own. Please bless our time here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The big idea this morning is a very simple and basic one. The big idea is be wise. Be wise. And through the narrative of Matthew talking about the wise men, we're going to see how is it that we as God's people can indeed be wise. So the first point is this: be wise by seeking the Savior. Be wise by seeking the Savior. Now Proverbs 9:10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. But how is it that anyone should come to knowledge of the Holy One? How do we as people know that there is a God? And how do we know that we are sinners in need of a Savior? Well, God does not leave us without an answer in that question. First of all, God reveals Himself to us in nature. He reveals himself to us in his creation. The wise men, or as they're often also called, the Magi, they had this star that appeared to them and led them to Jesus. We don't have stars appearing in our lives every day leading us to Jesus, but God did in past times use very miraculous, supernatural means of revealing himself to mankind. He used the burning bush to reveal himself to Moses. In both the Old and New Testament, he sent heavenly messengers or angels to deliver messages to his people and to call them to do something for his glory. Or in the case of today's story, he used a star to guide the Magi to the baby Jesus. But he has also revealed himself to us in the natural world. Everything around us, all of creation, shows that this world is in fact created and not happenstance. Otherwise, I would pose to you this question: how is it that a bird knows how to make a nest? There's not bird nest building schools anywhere that I've come to find. They just instinctively know, and they don't all build the same kind of nest. Now, there's a common one that we see around here very often, which looks like a little basket that sets up on a branch, and that is the most common bird nest. But depending on what kind of bird it is, there are different nests that specific species builds. Like a barn swallow makes its nest out of mud and attaches it to the top of a wall, or like when we lived in Texas on our front porch, which was quite annoying. But that is how a barn swallow builds its nest. There's another kind of bird that I found fascinating to learn about. It's called the tailor bird. The tailor bird builds its nest in a certain kind of tree. And what it does is the mother tailor bird, she uses her beak to poke holes in leaves that are still attached to the tree, up to 20 holes per leaf. And then what she does is she takes fiber, plant fiber, and she sews the leaves together and forms a pouch. And inside of that pouch, that is where she lays and hatches her eggs. But not all birds do that, but this one does. Or the penguin. In the Arctic, there is nothing for a penguin to make a nest from. Therefore, the male actually carries the egg around on its feet to protect the egg from the ice as well as predators. How is it that any animal knows instinctively how to care for its young in order to perpetuate its species? Or the fact that the earth, the moon, and the sun work in a systematic and predictable way in order to sustain life. This is evidence that there is a grand design to this world. There are many signs in nature, signs of intention, signs of design. All signs point to a creator. And every tribal culture out there has some form of creation story. Though many are strange and are inconsistent, until relatively recent times, most, if not all, people believed that the earth was created and that all humans were created. We know there's a creator because he has revealed this truth to us through his creation. Excuse me. God reveals himself to us through nature. God also writes his law on our hearts. See, we inherently know that murder, theft, and lying, and the rest of the Ten Commandments are wrong. We don't necessarily have to be told that. And there are three major religions that ascribe to the moral law that we find in our Bibles. We have, of course, the Christian culture, the Jewish culture, and then the Muslim culture, yet only Christians have the complete and accurate revelation of God's word. We all ascribe to those Ten Commandments. And yet every culture, and not just those three, every culture has laws or ethics that align with God's commandments. Because as image bearers of God, we all have his law written within us. Like Paul wrote in Romans 2, he said that Gentiles show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. Even though there are career lawbreakers out there, you might have the career thief who makes his living by stealing the things that belong to other people. Even the thief does not want his own stuff to be stolen. Or even the murderer does not want his own life to be taken from him. See, we all understand that God's law exists, and we understand what it is because it is written within us. He has written his law in our hearts. Thirdly, God calls out his saints through special or divine revelation. The wise men in our text, they were called out by God in a very special way. He providentially led them to Christ through the miracle of the star that guided them to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. These wise men were motivated by God to seek out the King of the Jews. And though you may have a Bible, which I will get to later, simply knowing what it says in God's Word does not mean that you value or believe the words written in the Bible. There are many atheists that know God's Word, and they use it to try and disprove its divine inspiration. They look for inconsistencies and claim to have found them, though they are wrong. And even Satan used Scripture to try and tempt Jesus to sin in the wilderness. And Herod, in our story, upon calling the priests and scribes to search the Scriptures to ascertain the place of Christ's birth, only used that information to try and eliminate the perceived threat of another king that was born within his realm. His heart was hardened towards God because he valued his own kingdom above whatever God intended to do with this baby king. He feigned humility and said that he too wanted to worship the child, but God had warned the Magi not to return to Herod, and later we find out that Herod was indeed plotting wickedness. He was plotting to kill the baby. Excuse me while I get a drink. Maybe. Oh my. We're going to make it. See, faith in God is a gift. He removes our heart of stone. He gives us a heart of flesh. He puts his spirit within us. He causes us to walk according to his statutes. So I would ask you, have you seen God working in your life? If you have yet to submit to him, is he calling you? And if you have yet to submit to him, I ask you why that is. Turn away from your sin. Turn to Jesus. Be wise by seeking the Savior. He has revealed himself to us in nature. He has written his law on our hearts. His law that shows us that we are sinners. And he works in his saints to call us out of darkness into the light. So I ask you again, have you sought the Savior? God's word says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, that you will be saved. So what are you waiting for? If that is you, seek the Savior. Point number two, be wise by searching the Scriptures. See, because God reveals himself to us in his Word. Prophecies in the Old Testament tell of the Messiah, the priests and the scribes. They knew where to look. They knew that a Messiah was expected to come. And in God's Word, he reveals that he is the only one and true God. He reveals that he created everything that we see, that he made everything and called it good, that he has planned salvation for the lost, that he is triune, that he is sovereign over all things, that he is glorious, that Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecies, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. God has revealed that to us through his word. He reveals his character. He reveals his plan for redemption. He reveals the glories and riches that await his saints. And he also reveals the misery and wrath that is stored up for those who are unrighteous and who never trust in Jesus. When we look at the Scriptures, it is required that God does work in our hearts, that we may believe what we read there. Again, anybody can read the Bible, can memorize the Bible, and never come to saving faith. But what God does with his saints is that he opens our spiritual eyes. He gives us understanding. He imparts to us faith that we believe and trust what is written in his word. See, Herod knew something of the Scriptures. He had more Scripture brought to him when these magi came asking about the baby king. Excuse me. And he sought the teachings of the Bible to find out where the Christ would be born. He must have believed it was true because he went to great lengths to have the wise men come to him in secret and inform them and to inform him where Christ was. He wanted that information from them. So he must have believed what he read. Yet, he used that information to plan wickedness. See, when we study God's Word, it is not only for the purpose of salvation, though that is at the forefront of the biblical narrative. There is much more about God and this life to be found in His Word. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, we find instructions for holy living. We find that God not only saves us, but that he also has a plan for our lives. His plan is that we would glorify him in all that we do. See, to know God's word is to know God better. To study God's book is to study God. We as Christians have the blessing of salvation, and also we have intimate knowledge of God through his word, which was delivered to us. Through the Bible, the Lord speaks to us. The Bible is living and active. I'm sure some of you have had the same experience as me. How many times have you read your Bible and found something that you didn't notice before? A lot of nods out there. You guys, I hear this all the time. I've experienced it myself. And also, how many times has that new nugget that you found in Scripture been the very thing that you needed to help you through whatever difficulty you were facing? Yep. See, had Herod sought the whole counsel of God, he would have found a treasure trove of knowledge that has the power to change his life as well as his eternity. He would have found that God is compassionate, that God is gracious, that God is merciful and glorious. He would have found a God that is not only worthy of praise, but is also to be feared above all. He would have read passages like Psalm 37, verse 32, which says this, "The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death." Well, that sounds exactly like what Herod was up to. He would have read God's word and seen that according to God's word, he himself was a wicked man. Through the scripture, God also convicts us of our sin with his law. He convicts us of our sin with his law. He shows us that we need to be saved. He shows us that we fall woefully short of his holy standard. And God exercises his will over our lives and changes us, removing that heart of stone, giving us that heart of flesh. He changes us through his word and by the power of his spirit. He renews our mind that we may see how sinful we are and how holy he is. He shows us our need for salvation. And through God's word, he tells us that Jesus is the only way. These wise men traveled far to find Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they worshiped him. They submitted their expensive gifts to him and gave him the honor and praise that is due to him. When they sought him, they found him, which is what it says in Proverbs 8:17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." The Magi diligently sought Christ, and they indeed found him. Jesus says, again, I've said it a couple times in this sermon, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father through him. And we read that in God's word. We also read that he alone is worthy of our praise because he is the only one who can and the only one who did make a way for man to be saved. So be wise by searching the scriptures. In them you will find not only the means of salvation, but also how to live in a manner that pleases your God. Point number three, be wise by submitting to the Spirit. Be wise by submitting to the Spirit. God calls us to do good works in this world. He calls us to do things in service to him that glorify his name. And these wise men in our story, it is of note that they were not people of Israel. These wise men were Gentiles. They were from the east. They were from a far off land. And yet they were called to come to Christ. We have that in common with them because, to the best of my knowledge, no one in here is of Hebrew descent. Whether you were or are not, access to the Father is still through Jesus. These wise men, these Gentiles, they were called by God and they submitted to God's calling. They submitted to God's calling. God gave them a mission to glorify Christ, and that's exactly what they did. So they were called to follow this star until they found the King, and they were called to worship him when they found him. They submitted to this divine calling. They took an arduous journey that God had called them to take, and they left the safety of their homelands in order to seek something, yea, someone greater than themselves. They sought his interests above their own. Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Our entire life lived unto the Lord is worship, submitting ourselves to God. See, when we submit to God, who convicts us by his Spirit, when we're obedient to him, when we say no to sin, though our flesh desires it, we glorify the Lord. When we love God and love those created in his image, which, by the way, is everyone, We exercise our faith in him as the sovereign ruler of the world. And when we are wronged by others, when we are wronged by others and display true forgiveness, we glorify God. Though we may suffer greatly in this life, we are called by God to be loving and we are called by God to be forgiving. We are even called to pray for our enemies. See, this life is just a vapor. But for those who are in Christ, the life to come is eternal joy with our Savior. Submit your lives to God's Spirit. See, these wise men, they received a divine message in the star that appeared. The message was that they were supposed to come to the Christ, yet at the time they only knew that it was King of the Jews. When scriptures were explained to them, they found out that this wasn't just a king, but this was the Messiah, as Herod informed them when he asked, where is it that the Christ should be born? When they found him, they bowed down and they worshipped him. See, we too, although we don't have a star before us, we too have received a divine message. We receive God's divine message in nature because the heavens declare his glory. We received a divine message in God's word and in the preaching of it that we are to come to Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and yet he calls us unto himself. Jesus has made a way for sinners to be reconciled to God. He does not demand that we bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. In fact, he demands that we submit much more to him than that. That we lay down our entire life before the cross and that we walk as a living sacrifice unto him. That every part of our life, our thought, our speech, and our deeds are all in submission to him. Matthew 16, 25 and 26 say this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" May we all find eternal life in Christ. King Herod, he sought to kill Christ. God warned the Magi not to return to Herod, and so also warned Joseph, and he fled with Mary and baby Jesus. They went to Egypt. God protected the baby Messiah from Herod. But he also allowed Herod to remain the king. Herod remained in his position of power. So though Herod hated Christ and wished him harm, like the rest of the world, he failed to acknowledge God. Herod was given over to his own lust. He was given the desire of his heart to continue to reign as king. He got what he wanted in this world. He had his kingdom. He had his palace. He had the power that comes with governing a nation. But what did it gain him in the end? Herod, like all who fail to trust in Christ, has wrath stored up for him on the day of judgment. And the very one who Herod sought to kill will judge him and will cast him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there he will remain eternally separated from God, which is the fate that is before every person who fails to profess Jesus as Lord. If you have not submitted your life to Christ, I warn you, you will be judged according to your own deeds by the very same judge who will judge King Herod. And though Jesus came as a baby who had to be protected from a murderous king, and though he later died on a cross, listen to John's description of Jesus in Revelation 19. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This, brothers and sisters, is who we worship. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the God we serve. The one and only true and living God. Jesus himself is the only way to be made right with our Creator. Though he is a God of wrath, he is also the Prince of Peace. He willingly went to the cross to pay for the sins of sinners. The free gift of his grace is offered to all who would trust in him. And whoever should trust in him will have eternal life and will not face the coming judgment. So submit to him. Submit to him before it's too late. You do not know the hour of your death. Tomorrow is not a promise. For it is appointed for man once to die, and then comes judgment. There are no second chances. And if you already know Christ, keep submitting to him. Keep following him. Keep seeking him out. Keep trusting in his promise. He has called you to do good works. He has called you to glorify his name. For God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, for your good and for his glory. Please pray with me. Father God in heaven, we thank you for King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who comes forth on the white horse with a robe dipped in blood, who comes to judge the world. And we thank you that so many of us here are among those clothed in linen, also on white horses, who are with him, Lord, that we get to serve him, that we get to do his good pleasure, that we get to manifest his glory in this world. Thank you for guiding us to him. Thank you for revealing him to us. Though not through a star, through more ordinary means, Lord, we thank you. Not only that, that like you protected the Christ child, Father, you protect us. We thank you that you've covered us with your wings. Please help us to glorify your name in all we do. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand.